you to take note of the reason for the paradigm shift in leadership. There's a shift that is being made back to Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. Very, very important. And so we also know that this is important. It may not sound too spiritual or too exciting, but it's powerful. God is already in the future and know the outcome. I want you to write that down. God, and any sukotala masata, any scenario you enter in, you must know that God is already in the future and he knows the outcome. Just grasping that in this class as a minister, as a leader, some of y'all are pastors, some of y'all have other callings on your life, but I want you to meditate on that statement. God is always already in the future and he knows the outcome. So all we got to do is have revelation, knowledge, and understanding and wisdom at that prayer given in Ephesians 1, that we can be with him operating his power in the same power that Jesus operated in. Those who walk with God are qualified to lead. Those who walk with God are qualified to lead. Now, here's what I want to share. I've been going over and over this, and I know I've got to share it over and over. And I want you to take the concept or the revelation or the understanding that we have not walked this way before. This is brand new attacks. Somebody says Satan don't have no new tricks. I don't know. But he's constantly attacking. And so let me give you the highlight of this statement. We have not walked this way before. Because a lot of times you're going to come into certain areas in your ministry you have never been through before. The future is evolving so quickly that it will take a perceptive leadership. What kind of leadership? Perceptive, perceiving, to keep abreast with its changes and find an apostolic strategy. I want you to underline that statement, to be effective in it. So what it's saying, that now that the Ephesians 4:11 call, and when the Lord said he built his church on the apostle and the prophet and Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone, what was he meaning? He's meaning that I have this office set up in a chronological order that they can move in the spirit properly through spiritual government and prophetic insight. So I want you, we have not walked this way before, but I want you to be prepared. The future is evolving so quickly that it will take a perceptive leadership. I want you to write perceptive. We have to be able to perceive in the spirit what the next move is at all times. Perceiving in the spirit. Very important to keep abreast with its changes and find an apostolic strategy to be effective in it. Apostolic strategy is a spiritual governmental strategy that can only come by revelation, understanding, and the wisdom of God and the knowledge of God. And the only person can bring that is the Holy Spirit. And we as ministers are going to have that perception, and we're going to have the apostolic strategy to understand what's going on. Only one thing is certain. God has been there in the future, and he knows what it will be like. Those who know him and walk with him are qualified to lead this generation. In other words, the little sideline things we have been doing in ministry will not work. We've brought in a lot of technology, which you can use it to God's advantage. I'm using it now to train you. But it's not God's system. God's system is the Spirit. And you got to spend time with God. I just come out about an hour of prayer right before I step in here in the sanctuary to minister to you. So we must learn how to build in the Spirit. I think Jude 20 said, building yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Now, I cannot overemphasize, class, the importance of praying in the Holy Ghost. The prophets and ministers I've followed over the years, their key factor was to spend time praying in the Holy Ghost. Jude tell you about it, and Jude is a book about these times. I think it's just one chapter. You read the book of Jude, and you can see all the things that we're becoming surrounded with now were spoken in the book of Jude. But then Jude 20 told us how to handle it by praying the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians 14:2 is another powerful scripture that tell you how to step into the mysteries of God. Romans 8:26-28 talks about the mind of the Spirit, the will of God, the purpose of God, and always coming out victorious. And that 28th verse, all things work together for good. So praying in the Spirit is one of the keys to activate the apostolic and prophetic and the evangelist and the pastor and the teacher all at one, as one, getting the job done. So it's very important. We must learn how to build in the Spirit. Now, one of the secrets of my ministry over these 52 years is building in the Spirit. After I got baptized in the Holy Ghost, after 2 or 3 years of being saved, I don't know how many thousands of hours I prayed in the Spirit. And so it's important for you to do that. Now, number one, we have not walked this way before. I want you to meditate on that. And then I want you to know what I told you about apostolic strategies and how to develop perceptive leadership. Perceptive leadership. In other words, perceiving, proceed, conceiving. The spirit world is about birthing in another realm, birthing in the realm of the Father. God is the Spirit. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. So the spirit world is about birthing things in the Spirit. And so nothing new can slip upon us. We'll be ready for it and anointed for it and know exactly what to do. Okay? Because He says, beloved, I worship more than your prophets and be in health even as your soul prospers. And then He says, building yourself, no, this one, building yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. So I believe that holy faith includes apostolic and prophetic faith that we can come together as God wants to come together. Now, another major point that I studied in apostolic strategies is the heat of the battle is intensifying. In other words, it's getting more and more intensity in the culture, in the attacks, and you assign to be ministers to handle this situation. The demonic onslaughts of the Christian church are getting more pronounced. Demonic onslaught, cultures, changing habits in the church. The church is no longer functioning as the head structure. The church has been blending in with government, blending in at large. The Lord sent you to this school to know not to blend in, but to take over. Not to blend in, but to take over. I walk in a takeover anointing. Not taking people over, but taking a situation over that God greatness, that God's glory, that God's victory, that God's power, and God's majesty, and God's ownership of heaven and earth and the kingdom must be manifested in my life and those who are connected with me. So the demonic onslaughts on the Christian church are getting more pronounced. Everything coming. We need a strong leadership. Write that down. Strong leadership that is able to stand in the heat of the battle and wage a good warfare of faith. Strong leadership. And that's what we want to build in this school. Strong in the spirit. Strong in faith. Strong in the Lord. Strong in the power. Strong in the glory. And it's going to take time for that. It's not an emotional deal. This is not a feeling deal. This is of faith and is of the spirit. But we need now strong leaders. Strong leaders will make strong followers. And then the church can take over as God designed her to take over no matter what comes. So we need a strong leadership that is able to stand in the heat of the battle and wage a good warfare. Now look, what would we say? A good warfare of faith. A faith warfare. In other words, everything we do, we've got to do it by faith, feeling and facts. I want you to get it down in your ministry. Feeling and facts shouldn't run your ministry. Faith and truth is the thing that we want to develop in you. And it is in the spirit realm. And so you're going to have faith to operate in. You've got to flow in the spirit. You've got to be, Romans 8:14, led by the spirit in order to function as you need to function in these times. So a good warfare of faith. We need to learn how to build in the spirit. What I just told you, Jude 20. And effectively pull down the stronghold of the enemy. Now 2 Corinthians 10:3-6 or 7 tell us that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. See, we can't get any carnality, but mighty through God to the pulling down of stronghold. And 2 Corinthians 10:3, that's very important. The weapon of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God pulling down stronghold. Strongholds are things that are built up against the will of God. And they try to keep you in bondage, keep people in bondage. So you're going to have to learn how, class, to flow in the spirit. I think Junior was talking about people just being followers, but they need to be flowers. In other words, following and flowing is need to be connected, but you just don't just follow. You need to know how. When the Spirit of God says something or show you something, how to flow with the Spirit. So we must learn how to build in the Spirit, effectively pull down the strongholds of the enemy. Pull on, because if you do not know how to function, you will be melted in the heat of this spiritual battle. We're in the last days, so what God is doing in this school and in my ministry is building ministers that can stand the heat and know how to walk through it. So not only we have not walked this way before, I'm going to repeat them. We must understand the heat of the battle is intensifying. And number three now, here, the wave of deception. Watch these words now. Manipulation and witchcraft has already infiltrated the church life and government. That statement is so important because Ephesians 4:11-16, the body of Christ membership, the body of people in the body of Christ should be ready to handle all of this. The wave of deception. Hit it down. Manipulation to witchcraft have already infiltrated the church life and government. The church life and government is infiltrated with manipulation, deception, witchcraft, demonic power, and is already. And then notice what it says, the church life and government. See, the church life cannot function without the government. And what have happened is the set plan that God had through his fivefold ministry gift have been thwarted or blocked or stopped for lack of understanding. I want you to understand that we need all five of these ministry gifts. Let's see what it says. Church splits, liberalism, too liberal, and disunity have taken away the spiritual strength of many churches. Let me give you that again. Church splits, liberalism, and disunity. Split, liberalism, and disunity. And that's all Satan's strategy. Has taken away the spiritual strength of many churches. So our job as ministers of the gospel is, first of all, to bring the spiritual strength back into ministry. Not just emotionally preaching to make people feel good, but to actually ponder the word of God and let the Holy Spirit be in charge. Ponder the word of God, meditate the word of God, and let the Holy Spirit be in charge. We'll deal with the deception, we'll deal with this manipulation, we'll deal with this witchcraft, liberalism, and disunity. I want you to get that: deception, manipulation, witchcraft, liberalism, and disunity have taken away the spiritual church, to take away the spiritual strength of many churches. Taking away the, so how many things? Deception, number one. Manipulation, number two. Witchcraft, number three. Liberalism. And liberalism is this, that can do anything. And then disunity. Disunity is because the ministry gifts are not strong enough to call for unity. Let me give you a pastoral direction here. As a pastor, I watch over the flock. I don't let nobody get out way when I'll set them down in a minute. I have a young man who's a very nice young man in my church, but when, in time of praise and worship, he just get wild, loud, loud, loud. Nice young man, loud, loud, like a nice wife. Finally, one Sunday, the anointing told me to send one of my ministers to tell him, blend in with the other people. Now, one of my ministers told me that he talked with him, and he said, I just got to be me. Well, see, that's not submission. You don't come under authority just being you, and you cannot let people do what they want to do in ministry. You pastor. You can't. You got to have the wisdom of God, but you cannot. But Satan will come in and get in the traffic if you don't watch him. Anytime there's a congregation together, there are people going to be a little loud and get happy, that's fine. But if you get overpowering, you got to blend them down because Satan's going to use that to disturb the movement of the Spirit. The movement of the Spirit is real, sensitive. And so the leader got to be on top of it. I'm praying for the young man to catch a hold of him and come on back and get himself straight. All right, church split, liberalism, and disunity have taken away the spiritual strength of many churches. The rising of men and women who refuse to change and who will resist any change in the church have become an increasingly important issue. Now, quite natural, what we've been walking through all these years, you've got to have wisdom, understanding, and knowledge from God how to shift in the Spirit if you're leading a congregation or if you're going out preaching as the evangelist. Know how to have the wisdom of God. Don't beat people down. See, because really it's not the people's fault that they where they are now. It's our fault. It's the minister's fault. And we got to bring them back into their real stance. But you're going to have the rising of men and women who refuse to change. Not only that, who resist any change in the church has become an increasingly important issue. Just like a little issue I told you about the young man. I told him, blend in with the people. Now, he's all upset. So he's actually refusing the change, and he's resisting the flow that I'm trying to get going on in the church. So I have to stand up against that. These resistors are not allowing the church to move in the prophetic. Listen very carefully. These resistors who want to hold on to their old ways are not allowing the church to move into the prophetic and apostolic dimension. Move into the prophetic and apostolic dimensions which God is releasing and restoring today. God is releasing and restoring the apostolic and prophetic dimensions. I want you to get that apostolic and prophetic dimension has to be in place if the church, the body of Christ, going to operate in dominion. They got to get back in place. And so you can't put back in place what you don't know about. So that's why in this school and these apostolic and prophetic classes and apostolic and prophetic anointing, I'm aiming to get on every one of you students as you listen, but you can't refuse to change. You see, that's what Jesus exposed us, what Satan wanted. He don't want us to get back into, listen very carefully, the Father God original plan for the church to run the whole system with power, with glory, with majesty, with victory. May the glory of God rest on you as you listen today. May we come to the grip that is not by might nor by power, but it's by His Spirit. You have to ponder that. You have to walk in that. And the deception and the manipulation and the witchcraft and the resistance and the disunity and the liberalism in the church. The church is more liberal now. They dress any kind of way. They just wear men wearing hat in the church. I'm from the old school. I don't believe in that. You're going to take a head off in here. And you're not going to dress any kind of way. Okay. Just write these words down. Proven, prepared, power, and grace. Now, go to that prayer in Ephesians 1. I think it started at the 15th verse to the 23rd. Pray that prayer for yourself. If your pastor prayed for your congregation, just stay in that prayer until you get all that functionizing into your spirit and in your mind. Now, here's another aspect, number four. The time we're living in is a specific time of separation and judgment. We need to look at this closely. God is bringing a time of repentance and cleansing within His temple. Whole lot of repentance, whole lot of cleansing. Because sadly to say, denomination, religion, and tradition have brought so much in the church that the Spirit of God is not breathing on. So, the time we're living in is a specific time of separation and judgment. God is bringing a time of repentance and cleansing within His temple. He is purifying the son of Levi, Malachi 3:3. The spiritual leadership who will bear the ark of the covenant and who will minister unto Him. There's a cleansing and a subsequent separation that's coming within the church. Those who have been proven will be promoted. Those who are prepared and ready will enter into a new dimension, a new realm of His power and grace. Now, I'm going to read that to you very slowly. I'm dealing with number four. We dealt with deception. We dealt with the heat of the battle. We dealt with we have not walked this way before. Now, in this number four, the time we're living in is a specific time of separation and judgment. Those two words, separation and judgment. We've got to be on the right side of the street. God is bringing a time of, number one, repentance and cleansing within His temple. Oh, you know God holy, you know that, right? You know we had to be holy, we had to be sanctified. We can't justify sin, and we can't take grace for a hiding place. Grace is not a hiding place for sin. Grace is to make you more powerful than sin. Don't forget I told you that. Grace is not a hiding place for sin. Grace is to make you more powerful than sin, more powerful than Satan. Grace includes the death, burial, resurrection, seated position, sending of the Holy Spirit in Christ to give you the same power and the same grace he operated in. All right? So purification is on the scene. Spiritual leadership, who will bear the ark of the covenant, who will minister unto him. There's a cleansing and a subsequent separation. Cleansing and separation. Think of those two words. They've served me well. I keep letting the Lord clean me, and I keep letting the Lord separate me. When he reveals something to me, I don't care who it is, I don't care how big it is, how large it is, I'm gone. By doing that, I walk in superior success in ministry. I never said it before. And not by might, nor by power, but by his spirit. But I walk in superior success, and he called it good success. Joshua 1:8 tell you how to do it. That good success comes by following the plan of God, no matter who you have to separate from. So we take down Joshua 1:8. That will only come through meditation, spending time with God, and having meditation produces visitation from God. Now I'm going to close this session. Meditation, Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart from my mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou may cause thy way to prosper and have good success. You heard that? Psalm 1, 1 through 3. And the third verse, get to the end. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Those places I walked in, not by might, not by power, not by being so smart. I walked in them because I've separated myself to the will of God. I want to pass that anointing on to you. You will enjoy success and victory in ministry, anointing, insight, success in ministry, success in your family, success in your body, success in your finances. All of these things are being built in you in this school through other instructors. Just pay close attention. In my inabilities and walking in God's ability is the secret to success. So we're going to pick up. We did four. I got in the next session. I'm going to pick it up and train you some other apostolic strategies that we got to have in place to win during these times. So just pay attention. Go over this teaching. It sounds simple, but powerful things have already been proven in my life and ministry and those who connected with me. So I'll see you next session.